Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Happy Thursday, everybody. 6 minutes after 8 in the AM. So far, the government shutdown has not affected us here on the Feedback program. Very glad about that. Although, I do believe that the park rangers are putting up barricades around our building so that veterans cannot come in and visit us while we're performing the show. That wouldn't be right. We can't allow that. This morning we're going to talk about an interesting turn of events that have happened in Iran. And it goes in line with some of the foreign policies that I think are very appropriate, and I wouldn't mind seeing adapted by our State Department. It has everything to do with the Iranian program of, well, they're, of course, trying to enrich nuclear material. They're trying to get weapons-grade uranium. And also, Iran is very active, believe it or not, in cyber warfare. And they have had a lot of setbacks. We'll talk about that as we get started. The phone number, of course, 715-845-2155, if you would like to be a part of the program. All right, so let's just jump in, shall we? The head of Iran's cyber warfare program, and I know some of you are going, really? Iran has a cyber warfare program? Yes, they do. And no, it's not just some guy surfing jihadist mingle trying to hook up with somebody and you know, strap a bomb to their chest. They are actually quite effective in the cyber warfare issue. Anyway, the head of the cyber warfare program was found shot to death. He was assassinated by gunmen who came up to him on a motorcycle. According to the report, which is being published this morning in the British newspaper The Telegraph, the body of cyber war headquarters commander Mojtaba Ahmadi was found in some woods just northwest of Tehran after having gone missing on Saturday. Also, just to bring you up to speed, five Iranian nuclear scientists and Iran's ballistic missile program chief have all been killed in mysterious circumstances in the last 6 years.
Not a whole lot of mystery behind it. I think we know who did it.
Well, who do you think has done it?
I think this has Mossad written all over it, doesn't it?
Well, you are, surprisingly, you are right in lockstep with the Iranians. They're pretty sure that Mossad is the guilty party. And for those of you who don't know, Mossad is Israel's CIA.
Right.
They are the secret operatives for Israel. If you remember back in the 70s when the Palestinians attacked the Israeli
Olympic team
mm-hmm. in Munich, killing them and so forth, Golda Meir was the prime minister at the time. Yes?
Yes.
She asked Mossad if they would be willing to find those guilty of the attack and dispatch them appropriately, which they did in some amazing ways. Anyway, so Sunday, Iranian Foreign Minister Javed Zarif told ABC News' This Week with George Stephanopoulos that Israel cannot kill all of our scientists. They have unfortunately assassinated some of them, and nobody has raised an eyebrow about it. The United States is supposed to be against terrorism, yet is allowing terrorists to kill innocent Iranian scientists. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, and I hate to say this because it's going to sound wrong, but really, if you are allowing assassinations like this, it probably would be classified as terrorism if it was happening in the other direction. If the Iranians were sending in hit teams to take out our scientists, the people that work the drones or the people that, you know, whatever, Would there be an uproar? Of course there would. We would be sending in the bombers probably if that happened.
I got a chance to listen to Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday, I believe, in his speech. And he said, let me be very, very clear about this. He said, we will not allow a group of people that have vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth to come into possession of nuclear armaments. And you know what? When he speaks, I believe that he is telling the simple truth.
Mm-hmm.
I like Benjamin Netanyahu. I think he is an effective leader. May not agree with all of his politics, but I believe he is an effective leader. When he speaks, I think the leaders of the Muslim world get a little nervous because they know he's not bluffing. He's not blowing smoke. He's not saber rattling. And he's not using a lot of bloviation and a lot of extra words. He's very quiet. He's very simple. He's very understated. And he means what he says. And he has the ability and the accoutrements to carry out what he says. I think I'm going to go along with Iran and say, yeah, I'm pretty sure Mossad has taken care of some of these individuals. This cyber warfare minister, as he's called, was found in the woods with two bullet wounds in the heart. You know, if you're a robber, do you take time to put a double tap in the chest? No. Listen, I've watched enough episodes of NCIS, and I know Ziva. I've watched that character. I know a double tap to the chest is Mossad. Okay, I'm just saying. I understand.
I've read enough books from Daniel Silva. Yes, if you read Daniel, have you ever read Daniel Silva's stuff?
He's got like
six books that feature a retired Mossad agent who always gets brought back to handle the tough assignments.
Yeah,
his books are really good.
So when we talk double tap to the chest, we're experts in this. Okay, we know how the government agencies and so forth work.
By the way, caller wanted to remind us that Golda Meir was a Wisconsin native who immigrated to Israel.
Are you serious?
She was from Milwaukee, yeah.
I did not know that. I am impressed. So she liked beer too, huh?
Well, I don't know about that, but she was the one that instigated the Operation Wrath of God. That was the name of the operation that took out the Munich terrorists wherever they were hiding.
This is my point. All right, Benjamin Netanyahu, Golda Meir, and many, many others have established a reputation of we're not going to yell, we're not going to scream, we're not going to make a bunch of empty threats, but we are going to tell you this: we will not allow a threat to come against our nation that we will not act on. We are not going to just sit quietly by. And because of political correctness, allow our people to be threatened. And when those threats pop up, quietly, effectively,
preemptively,
and brutally, the problem is solved. I, for one, think this is a very good foreign policy. I have no problem with it whatsoever.
So in the President Mila regime coming down the pike in a few years, there would be lots of preemptive strikes, and the CIA would have free rein again to send out poison cigars.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Tom. The response from the Israeli administration is like, well, you know, these things happen when you have a very violent society.
Right.
These are probably results of internal conflict.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You go in, you take care of business, you get out quietly. There's deniability on, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. We're not even over there. We're not allowed over there. What are you talking about? Very quiet, very effective, as opposed to just so much empty rhetoric and absolutely no way, no means, no intention to back up what you say. Syria. You know, that red line was crossed. Have we actually ever done anything about the chemical warfare? No, we didn't.
The chemical weapons have been neutered.
And who is the one that put all that together?
who was the one that had to put all that together
Putin.
Because nothing was going to happen unless Putin was on board.
Well, nothing. You know why? Because the leader of this country
doesn't want a war with Russia.
Spineless.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. Your phone calls when we come back. 715-845-2155. Don't go anywhere.
The news station. AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. It's 8:21. Another thing that I wanted to get to this morning that I did not get to yesterday was just a comment that Chris Matthews made when he was on the program Morning Joe. He made a comment about Senator Ted Cruz. Get this. Chris Matthews, which we all know has been a very staunch Obama supporter. He was the one that said that when Obama got elected or whenever he spoke, there was a tingle that ran up his leg. I don't know if Chris Matthews will ever live that one down, but you know what I'm saying. He's basically a go-to boy for the Obama administration, an outspoken liberal and so forth. And that's fine. You know, that's what his program is about, his opinions, his viewpoints. That's he's not a newsman. He's an opinion individual, and that's great. That's what he's hired to do, much like us. So anyway, he's talking of Ted Cruz and his 21-hour or so speech against Obamacare and the budget shutdown, et cetera, et cetera. He said, I think Ted Cruz is brilliant. Brilliant. He goes on to say the president has met his match in this guy. Talking about the confrontation, he said that he set this up months ago with no budget agreement, therefore no appropriations, and the government would be completely exposed as of the time of the shutdown, and he knew exactly what he was doing going after Obamacare. So high praise from a low person, but very interesting that he recognizes the difference in Mr. Ted Cruz. He recognizes that there is that same fire of rhetoric in Cruz as there is in Obama. Hopefully it's not as empty. All right, let's go to the phones. We got Ben. Thanks for holding on and giving us a call. What can we do for you this morning?
Tell me, in reference to the vets going to D.C.
Yes, sir.
Do you recall your words prior to the earlier part of the program as to why you didn't answer the call to service?
Yes, sir. I was afraid to go.
You was afraid to go?
Yes, sir, I was. And I know that's a horrible thing to say, but I try to be very, very honest with how I feel about things. I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed that I was afraid to go. But I was afraid to go into the military, go into combat, and get shot at. Scared the living crap out of me.
Now, here again, why would any group of vets who answered the call to duty, that is, want some self-confessed coward lead the charge to Washington, D.C.? No, not now or ever, sir. Not now or ever. Never.
Now, why do you say that? Why do you call me a coward? Stand up for what you just said, sir. Don't be a coward yourself and hang up. Answer my question. Oh, wow. That's impressive, sir. I appreciate it. What's his name? Ben? Ben, let me explain something to you. A coward? Fine, you can call me a coward all you like, but let me explain something to you, sir. You know how much guts it takes to stand in front of this audience and say, I did not register for service because I was afraid? You have any idea? No, you don't. You know why? Because you, sir, have the ability to call in, hide, make your comment, and then run. Now, let me see. Run away from a confrontation seems like the definition of coward to me. But I have no problem with you calling in. You can call in and call me a coward all you like. You know why? It's not true. And the other thing is, I really don't give a flying flip what you think of me. Coward. Interesting. Very, very interesting. But no, that is exactly the reason why I did not sign up. My uncle was a colonel in the military and said that he would be more than happy to get me in and help me get an assignment and all this other stuff. I thought about it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I have the utmost respect for my best friend that at the age of 18 or 19 went into the reserves for the Marine Corps and has done an amazing job. It's been perfect for him. I'm very proud of him. He's now a colonel working in the Pentagon. Very proud of him. I have tremendous respect for him. I couldn't have done it. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Bob.
Bob, what can we do for you?
I'm calling in to, this is WSAU.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling you guys. First of all, the last person that was on was a coward when you talk like that and hang up.
He's entitled to his opinion, but he should be brave enough to explain and discuss it, not just run away. Yeah,
Right. And I also would say something about President Obama. He spent more money sending out these barriers and guards than it would have been to leave it alone.
Yeah, I have to think that you're probably right. I'm thinking that it costs more money for the equipment, the workers, and the guards to keep the place shut down than it would be to hire somebody to stand there and make sure the bathroom was clean or whatever, just make sure somebody didn't fall into the pond. I just don't understand the logic behind it.
Right.
Tom, do me a favor, and thank you very much for your call, sir.
Well, I have another thing to say on that.
Sure, go ahead.
He also, the Republican National Party agreed to pay all expenses to keep it open. He turned them down. And the House of Representatives passed a bill to keep the parks open.
Yeah, and he rejected that.
So,
yeah.
So
and
he's playing politics with our veterans.
Yes, sir, he is. Well, he's playing politics with all of it. This is all for show. It's all about causing inconvenience and pain. Tom, do me a favor. We're getting ready to go into the break. I believe that the White House has put together some provision that the parks, the national monuments, and so forth are now open, that they are not going to prevent veterans groups, et cetera, from visiting. Do you know if that's the truth? Can you look at that for me while we're on the break?
It certainly makes sense. I mean, obviously, no one, Democrat or Republican, wants a video of, you know, World War II veterans being arrested or chased away from the World War II memorial.
Precisely. I believe that's the case. I read something very, very briefly about that. If you could just look at that over the break and verify that's either true or not true when we get back. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, 715-845-2155. If you'd like to call in and not be a coward.
The Wisconsin Morning News to start your day.
Feedback at 8.
The biggest talkers.
And did we mention baseball?
There's only one station that delivers it all.
Every day.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.